teaching series here called Towering Lives Terrifically Lived. And what we're doing in this teaching is we're looking at some of the biographical sections in the book of Jeremiah so that we can see how the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah was able to live a towering, terrific life even when everything around him seemed to be fracturing and crumbling and collapsing. And I want to continue that series today. I'm going to continue it by introducing a little two-part message on the subject, the prophetic word. This is going to be a brief message because, as you heard, this is James and Megan Brooks' last Sunday as our worship pastor. So in just a few minutes, I'm going to shift the focus back to them. But I'm actually going to use this message to lead into talking about James and Megan. But since I have you up here, would you mind reading the text for us today? The text for this morning is Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. You can follow along on the screens or follow along as Margarita reads.
Okay. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant."
Thank you. That's perfect. All right. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you could see the future of someone else a little bit more clearly than they could see it? Have you ever interacted with someone where they were either telling you about their life or perhaps you were just watching them live their life and you realized, "I think I can see where this path is taking you a little more clearly than you can see it yourself"? Have you ever had that moment? Now, I know that sounds like a negative. It sounds like you don't see where this is taking you and you don't recognize where this path is going to lead you. But it doesn't have to be a negative. Sometimes people have a hard time seeing their potential. Do you know that's true? Sometimes people can't really see their full potential unless an outside voice recognizes it and speaks to it. Have you ever been able to see someone's potential before they could see it themselves? When I was about 19 or 20 years old, I attended a church service with a guest speaker who was ministering. And at the end of this service, the speaker opened up the altar and he was going to invite anyone who wanted prayer to come forward and he would pray over them. But before he did a general appeal, if you will, at the end, he called about four or five people out publicly and he prayed over us in front of everyone. And I was one of the people that he called out. I didn't know this speaker. I'd never seen him before. He didn't know me, but he made me stand up in front of everyone and he looked at me for a couple of minutes. And then he said, "Lord, I thank you for the pastoral calling that's on this young man's life." And when he said that to me, I started shaking my head like this because I had no plans on being a pastor. I was going to school. I was going to be an English teacher. I was going to write novels and I was going to coach track and field. And so I had no desire or thought to be a pastor. So I was shaking my head. And when I started shaking my head, then he said, "And so, Lord, would you adjust this man to receive the calling that you've placed on his life?" And something in me changed. Not that night necessarily, but in that season of my life, something shifted. And some circumstances began happening. Details and events lined up that made it very clear that no, I wasn't called to teach in a school setting. I was called to teach in a church setting. I was called to be a pastor. In fact, it's kind of funny. We're reading the book of Jeremiah in this series. Well, he quoted to me from the book of Jeremiah in that moment. He quoted Jeremiah 3:15, where God is saying to the nation of Israel through the prophet that "I will give you shepherds after my own heart." That, can I just read the word to you? This was the first official prophetic word that I've ever received in my life. And it was given publicly, as I said, and since it was public, they recorded it. So I got a copy of the recording. I wrote it down word for word. I memorized it. But this is what that word said. He said, Lord, I thank you for the pastoral anointing that's upon this young man's life. And that in the years to come, you will put upon him the heart of a shepherd. And that it would align with the scripture that says, in the last days, I'll raise up shepherds after my own heart. And it may not be in the traditional sense that most people think of pastoring, but it will be in the sense of caring for the sheep and loving the sheep and ministering to the sheep. Quick tangent. I hate it when people call Christians sheep. I hate it so bad when people refer to a congregation as a flock. And I get the metaphor. In fact, Jesus came up with the metaphor. It doesn't bug me when Jesus said it because he's Jesus. But I don't know why. It's just one of my many issues. But for me, it's fingernails on a chalkboard when people say you're a flock or the sheep. So I hate that. But regardless, it was a powerful moment. And he said, Lord, I thank you. And as I pray for him, I prophesy the pastoral care that's going to be upon his life. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of the Lord will be such that he will be able to minister to those who need to be healed from the bruising they've received from the cares of this world. And at that point, I was shaking my head. And so that's when he said, and Lord, we adjust this man right now to receive the calling that you've placed upon his life. My encounter with the prophetic word at that time in my life changed my life forever. So what is a prophetic word? Very simply, a prophetic word is a word that God is speaking now. A prophetic word is not necessarily a futuristic word. Biblical prophecy is not fortune telling, it's forth telling. It's the speaking forth of what God is saying in a given moment. So a word is not more or less prophetic because it has a futuristic bent to it. A prophetic word is simply what God is saying now. God speaks. You know that, right? Just to help you, just to make sure that you know if you wandered into the right place or not today, we're not deists here at Grace Church. A deist is a person who believes in God. A deist is a person who looks at the complexity of our world and they see the design and the detail and the amazing, intricate way this world was put together. And they realize this can't be random. This can't be coincidence. This couldn't have happened from nothing. So a deist believes that a divine intelligence created the elements of the universe, put them in place, kind of assembled it, kind of like a giant cosmic watchmaker. And that God put everything together and then wound up the creation, but then kind of backed off and now is letting the creation and the universe do its thing. So a deist believes in God, but a deist would probably never say, God spoke to me. Now, on the other end of the spectrum from a deist would be the person who believes that God tells them which direction to part their hair in the morning. He never tells me that, by the way, but there are people who believe that God speaks to them on the hour about every little detail of their lives. And listen, God can speak that way. And God may very well speak to people that way, but I'll tell you where I tend to land. Jessica and I loved this old preacher named Dr. Saville Phillips. He was had a Bible translation ministry, sent missionaries all around the world to translate scriptures. We loved, loved, loved Dr. Phillips. He died a few years ago, but he told a story once of a seminar that he attended that was formed around the idea of how to hear the voice of God. And the lady who was teaching this seminar was a phenomenal teacher. She was like kind of famous, kind of known for teaching how to hear God's voice. And in the seminar, she told the story about how every day when she was getting ready, she would stand in front of her closet and she would look at her closet at all of the blouses and the dresses and her shoes. And she would say, God, what do you want me to wear today? And God would speak to her and lead her in how to get ready. And so Dr. Phillips heard this teaching and he's like, oh, I want to know God that way. And so he thought, I'm going to try it. So the next day he was standing in front of his closet, looking at his little shabby suits and his jeans and his shirts. He's like, God, what do you want me to wear today? And then he just waited and God spoke to him. And he heard the voice of God just in his heart. He heard God say, I'm not your mother. And then he said, I trust you to get dressed in the morning. So I tend to land somewhere in between those two extremes. But I definitely believe that God speaks. God speaks and God has spoken. And that's the scripture. In theological circles and in theological terminology, the scripture is referred to as special revelation. So we have in the scriptures a record of the special communication and self-disclosure and the burden and the heart and the passion and the word of God to people throughout history. So number one, God speaks. Number two, God has spoken. And then number three, God is speaking. And this refers to the immediacy surrounding a now word from God for your situation. See, God might not tell you what to wear in the morning, but he does have a now word for this specific situation and season of your life. Now, a couple of wisdom pointers as we talk about hearing the voice of God and trying to perceive a word from God. First of all, what God has spoken and what God is speaking are intimately connected. What God has spoken through the special revelation of Scripture will inform and fuel what God is speaking. So what God is speaking will not violate the essence of what God has spoken. And the more familiar we are with what God has spoken, the more apt we'll be to accurately discern what God is speaking. Does that make sense? So Jessica and I have been married for 22 years, and she has written me tons of love letters and cards over the years. She's also written me a couple of come to Jesus letters over the years, and I have kept almost every letter that she's written me. I didn't keep the come to Jesus letters. You know, the one night I came home and there was a 9-page letter on the counter, and I was like, oh boy. And I was all happy because she's so beautiful writer. She's so romantic, so loving. And I sat down, and it was a love letter of sorts but it was one of those come to Jesus, you know, buddy, there's some things that need to change. I didn't keep those letters, but I did read them, and I've tried to change my life based on them. But based on what she has spoken to me throughout 22 years, and based on how she has lived her life, I can almost always guess pretty accurately what she will say. Based on what she has spoken, I have a pretty good idea of what she will say in a given situation. Because these past words predict the future words, it's also super important to realize that just because I do know what she said in the past, and I can guess at what she's saying in the present, sometimes I still need to know what she's saying today. See, in my marriage, I am not in a relationship with a formula. I'm not in a relationship with an equation or with an idea. I am in a living, breathing relationship with a human being. And even though I can imagine what she would say today based on what she said yesterday, sometimes I still need to hear today what she is saying today. Sometimes in marriage coaching settings, I have to just kind of laugh at you. No, not you. I just have to kind of laugh inside because people literally say, I told you I loved you when I married you. Why do I need to keep saying it? Now, I know that sounds so extreme, but people literally have that sentiment sometimes. You know I love you. Why do I have to keep communicating it? Well, I have to keep communicating it because I'm not living 20 years ago. I'm living today, and I need to know what the word is now. See, it's fun to read the letters from the early years. It's fun to reminisce, and it's fun to reflect and remember. But when I need affirmation today, a 20-year-old letter doesn't cut it. I need a word now. In fact, there's a great verse in Philippians 3:1. Paul says, it is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it's a safeguard for you. So I just love that. Paul wasn't irritated that he had to keep reminding them of the word. It's like, I've already told you this. Haven't you heard me preach before? You already know this stuff. No, Paul realized I need a now word. And even if the now word is identical to last year's word, what are you saying now? And I'm happy to remind you over and over and over because it's a safeguard for you. So prophecy is a now word that takes the essence of what has been spoken and it brings it into the immediacy of what is being spoken today. And by the way, a lot of people, and this includes you, a lot of people are far more prophetic than they realize. There's probably some of you sitting out here right now thinking, well, prophecy sounds awesome, but I'm not prophetic, or I don't know if that's me. Listen, what do you do when someone comes to you and they are heartbroken and they're dealing with some painful stuff in their life? Do you know what you start doing? You begin to prophesy to them. You come alongside them and you say, I'm so sorry. This is a bummer. And it hurts, and you empathize, and then you say, but God is still for you. And even though the lights are out tonight, I can see the lights are going to be turned back on again. That's prophetic ministry. It's taking a word from the heart of God and bringing it into the now. Or someone comes to you very distraught over a failure. Have you ever had someone confess a failure to you? Or lament an area of regret in their life, and they're just beat up and condemned. What do? You begin prophesying to them. You're like, I get it. Sin sucks. Sin, by the way, sin does not make us bad. Sin makes us dead. You can be a really good, great person and have sin in your life. Sin doesn't make us bad. It makes us dead. So we say to this person, yeah, I get it. Sin is the worst. Sin always brings death every time, but you begin to then prophesy. Sin does not have the final word. Jesus Christ absorbed that sin in his own body on the cross. The clearest picture we ever have of God in Scripture is Jesus Christ giving his life for people like you and me and then inviting us into his life. That's prophetic ministry. Or have you ever been talking to someone and they're just stuck in a relationship? The relationship was just jacked up. But as they're talking to you, you start asking some questions. You dig around a little bit and suddenly you see it. Oh my gosh, you're relating on a faulty foundation, or there's a pattern that you don't see and I see it. And if you go this direction, things will shift. That's prophetic ministry. Sometimes some of these terms can seem so mystical or so super spiritual that we write ourselves off without realizing that we already are. We're already carriers of this word. So the prophetic is the presentation and the proclamation of what God is saying in a given moment in time. And I think this is fascinating that both in the Old Testament with Moses and the New Testament with Paul, Moses and Paul were desperate for every follower of God to prophesy. Listen to these words from Numbers chapter 11, verse 25. It says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with Moses, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on Moses and he put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. Verse 26 says, however, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad, not very creative parents, Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but they did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And that's kind of a funny thing to be a tattletale over. Can you believe that? Those two guys, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying. And then Joshua gets all worked up. It says, Joshua, the son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up. And he said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on all of them. And then when we get over to Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5 in the New Testament, Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. In verse 1, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Prophecy. Sorry, my voice is still changing. The reason that Paul wanted them to emphasize prophecy is because in verse 3 it tells us the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Oh my gosh, don't you want to go to that church? I want to go to a church where the oxygen is strength and encouragement and comfort. That's the DNA. That's the ethos that I want to live and move and function in. Paul wants every one of us to prophesy. And I love Revelation 19:10. That verse tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So a true prophetic word is a word that will glorify and illuminate and highlight and amplify the person, the character, the heart, the work of Jesus Christ. And then in case any of you were wondering this morning, how do I do this? I would like to prophesy. Paul said, earnestly desire. So first of all, if we don't desire to have a word from God to share with someone, that shows either some complacency or a coolness of love, or maybe some ignorance. Maybe we don't even realize sometimes that this is supposed to be a thing that we have and that we function in. And so if we don't have a desire, why don't we just kind of stir that up and say, God, I want to desire this. I want you to use me this way. But if you would like to be used this way and you're wondering, how do I do this? There's a few different ways that a person can get a prophetic word. Number one, it can come to you through the illumination of Scripture. And you've probably already had this experience many times. There will be times when you are reading the special revelation. You'll be doing your little daily Bible reading. You'll be reading what has been spoken. And as you're reading what has been spoken, something will kind of come off of the page. You've had that experience? Something lifts off the page. You see something you've never seen before. Or be mindful of this in your Bible reading. Sometimes you'll be reading a passage and then for whatever reason, you start to feel a sense of the nearness or the presence of God. You know that little kind of that misty-eyed, tender, I'm home emotion that you feel when you feel God's presence. Sometimes as you're reading what has been spoken, part of what has been spoken will have that sense on it. And often that's a prophetic message, maybe for you, or maybe later in the day you're talking to somebody and you realize, oh my God, that was a word for you. Another way that it happens is an internal knowing. For the prophetic element in my life, 9 times out of 10, it's that first point. It's from the illumination of Scripture. Jessica is more of a sensor, more of a feeler. And for her, and maybe some of you, it comes from kind of an internal knowing. You hear people use the term, I felt led, or inspired, or prompted, or nudged, or pushed, or stirred. We're just trying to come up with language to describe this bubbling up of knowing on the inside of us. Another way that it can happen is through, what else? What's number 3? Dreams. I'm not much of a dreamer, but I did have a dream a couple of weeks ago. I dreamed that I was walking through 5 different churches. And as I walked in these different churches, I had very distinct impressions come over me in each congregation. And I walked into the 5th church and I didn't know where I was. I knew the pastors of all of the other churches, but I stepped into this 5th church and I started walking up a flight of stairs to the sanctuary. And as I was walking up the steps, worship music was playing and I had this overwhelming sense of the Lord's presence. And then in my dream, I realized, oh, this is Brent and Terry's church. Who's Brent and Terry? Brent and Terry were some of our very, very best friends when we lived in Colorado Springs. And they planted a church in Beaumont, Texas. So in my dream, I realized this is Brent's church. So I woke up and the next day I texted Brent. Hey, Brent, had a dream. I was walking through these 5 churches, had some distinct impressions, walked into the 5th, started climbing up a flight of stairs, sensed God's presence and realized it was yours. And so I just wanted to share that with you. That's a way, and I'm not saying that was a heavy-duty prophetic word for him, but that is a way that God speaks and communicates. Are any of you dreamers? Any of you dream consistently? You know, not every dream is a word from God, but if dreaming is a regular thing, ask the Lord, is this a way that you're communicating and you want to communicate to me? Number 4 is visions. And I'm actually going to get into this a little bit next week. This morning is just kind of high level, very light introductory to this topic. But next Sunday, We're going to go a little bit deeper. So especially if you feel like this might be a gift of yours, please be with me next Sunday. We'll spend a lot more time on this. But this morning, no more talking. Rather than talking at you about the prophetic, I thought it would be a good fitting morning for us to demonstrate this to you. So let me have James and Megan come up and join me here. You guys love James and Megan Brooks. Are we just completely heartbroken today? Oh, we love you guys so much. Would you take a second and prophesy to us? Oh, I'm just kidding. I actually have asked a few people this week if they would pray for you and if they would ask God if he had a word for you from them. And I just want to say a quick word that's not like a big thus saith the Lord, but it's just such an obvious word. You two are so amazing. And the biggest compliment I think I could give you, because your gifts are so apparent. Some people's gifts are just very upfront and out loud and obvious to everyone. Your internal heart and character and humility and authenticity and love matches the scope and breadth of your external giftedness. And it's huge and it's awesome. And you're the real deal. And I've asked a few people, so let me have Linda and Sean and Nora and Tim. Can you guys come up here and join me? Why don't you come up on the platform and come on up here, Linda. Great. So thank you so much for taking time to pray and for waiting on the Lord. This isn't something you can conjure up. This kind of stuff, you can't just decide to have a gift of the Spirit working in your life. But hey, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and wants to speak. And so I asked them if they would pray, and apparently you all felt like you got something. So let's keep the recording going if we can. And Linda, let's start with you and maybe look right to them and speak right to them today.
I'm a little nervous. I'm going to read this, but
the mic real high.
Thank you. James and Megan, we love you. And we are so thankful for the times that we've been able to share with you. Today we celebrate you and we offer thanks to the Lord for your service. We so appreciate how you have sought the Lord in spirit and in truth with humility, love, and excellence that continually exalted the Lord and reminded us that he is worthy. As I prayed for you this week, the verses that God brought to my mind were from Psalms 34, 1 through 4. And I learned it in the King James Version, so I'm going to read it in that version. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I believe with all my heart that your lives are going to be marked by the same love and devotion for God that you have served him with in the past, and that those that you lead and serve with in the future will be led to a deeper knowledge, reverence, and adoration of the power and the presence of God in their lives, just as we have. Thank you.
So I actually thought I had a word for them about 4 years ago when I told James, I think he should date that girl, Megan. Little did I know they were already dating. So hopefully today I'll be, you know, more on focus. Yeah, on the front end of things. So all week I was praying for you guys and really, really trying to, you know, hear what God wanted to say. And I kept on hearing different songs that that you guys have led us in. And that I kind of just always think of you guys when I, you know, when I hear them, and they kept on flooding into my heart, and I'm like, well, I can't come up here and sing them. So, and I was a little bit panicked that God would, you know, but So this morning, just sitting right here, I really felt like God wanted me to remind you of this verse. It's Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, and for the display of his splendor." You have done this, Megan and James, in our church through leading and demonstrating and teaching us in worship. You've brought us to a point of freedom in worship. And I feel like God is wanting to assure you that this will be your call, and this is how God will use you in your next chapter. You are anointed to proclaim goodness, heal brokenness, proclaim freedom and comfort, and to help the broken exchange their mourning for praise.
So, James and Megan, you've been a real gift here at Grace. As we looked, and as Megan was leading on her own, and then as James leading alone and leading together, amazing. I mean, what you've brought here is, as Sean said, just that ability to be free in worship. But you've been able to listen to the words that God has spoken. You've been able to translate that word and feeling into song. I feel like God's really placed a word, but you've been able to hear it. It's not, you can definitely tell that you guys step back away from the microphone, you listen to what the Lord has to say, and then you translate to that to us. So we've been very blessed by that. You've used the talents that the Lord gave you for worship and praise. You've listened and studied the words so it could be preached in front of men. As I've been praying and listening to the Lord this week and what the word is, I keep hearing that he's pleased with you and how you've listened to his heart, and that the passion you have for teaching others to hear that word and then give it out. It's not something that you want to stand in front of the mic and you want to stand in front of the church. I feel like the Lord's really saying you have this passion to stand in the back of the church looking and say, that is good. This is right. Being able to audit and make sure that those things are happening. Your heart's warm when other people are able to hear the word. As you move on to the next chapter of your lives, remember the words of Psalms 33:3, which is to sing him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. And you've done that here at Grace. You've sung new songs, you've brought us new words, and you never, ever, ever forget to shout for joy. So as you begin to move into the next chapter, remember those words. The other verse that came was Isaiah 42:10, when it talks about singing a new song to the Lord. And he's talking about Jesus returning, and we're still singing new songs. So even as we await in anticipation, you guys are the ambassadors for the next generation, and we're so thankful for that.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:5. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Showing adversity and unity of spiritual gifts is evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Evidence is what everyone looks for these days. Even in our schools, we are asked to give evidence-based answers that prove a perspective or a possible reason. We're often asked not to look back in our lives, but to keep looking forward as well. While this is true, I say looking back can be proof and evidence of God's plan. Megan and James's lives are proof that God is faithful and he is real and that he is alive and powerful today. They together do not walk alone. They decide alone or move forward alone. They seek God in every move. Separately, Megan is a pearl. That is the meaning of her name. Pearls are known for their calming effect. That is evidenced by her choice of the major she chose at school, her career, and her calming voice. Pearls can also balance one's spirit. That's evident in how she's influencing with James from up here. Also, pearls are a symbol of strengthening relationships, and that is evident in how she has influenced our family. The relationships that she's built with Michael's girlfriend and Christina's friends and boyfriend and just our family is very evident. And Pearl is also about keeping children safe. And that was evidenced in how she was able to relate to students when she was working in my district. She got a job working with students with special needs, and I saw that quality come out in her as well. It is also said that a pearl symbolizes purity, generosity, integrity, and loyalty of its wearer. So, separately, James is a mover and a shaker in his own right. James's name means supplanter, one who supersedes or takes the place of. Sometimes this word can have a negative connotation, but I am here to witness to you that I have seen the opposite in his life. He looks at a situation and changes hindrances in his life into power. When he was 8 months old, we noticed that he couldn't hear very well. And both James and Michael would sit, they're twins, and most of you know, and they would be sitting there, and I would call their names, and James would keep looking forward, and Michael would turn around, and noticed over a few months that there was something going on with his hearing. And so after three surgeries, while simultaneously having that hindrance in his life, he developed a sensitivity for truly paying attention as others talk. He had to look at you and really listen and look into your eyes. This was a hindrance to some people, as I think some people would, but he made it into a strength in another area. That's evidenced by the amount and the caliber of friends that he has and the people he surrounds himself with. He also developed a sensitivity and attention to others' feelings and words. This is evidenced by his other-centeredness. He goes into a room. He looks around the room. He notices every person and everyone there. And for his music, this is evidenced by his love of music, his service of music, his job in the music, his leadership with music, and his creativity. Who would have thought that a person that couldn't hear would develop his music in this way? Totally God. So as you both step aside in this ministry, look back often and see the evidence of his presence. And I know you will walk together, decide together, and move forward together as God leads you into territories of trust. So look back. Don't forget.
So I kind of feel like Paul today in the sense that I want every single one of us to do this and have this. I want us to do this for each other. And there is a now word for every single one of you in this stage in your life. If you feel like I can't quite dial into what God's saying to me, go to your small group, go to your friends, say, help me hear. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he told Timothy that by the prophecies that were given to Timothy, he would be able to wage a good warfare or fight a good fight. It keeps us in the fight to know what God has said and what is being said. So thank you guys for taking your time this week to pray and share. I want to pray for James and Megan. I have a little thank you gift for you guys. I want to pray for them, and then let me have the worship team come back up after I pray. James and Megan are going to share a few things with you, and then we'll do one final song together with them in this role. Would you mind stretching out your hands? Let's pray for them. Father, thank you for this beautiful couple. Thank you for this amazing gift that you've given us. Thank you for the gift that you've given them in their marriage with each other. Bless them in this new season of life. Let them absolutely soar with the ministry at APU, with all that they're involved with. Bless them, cover them, fill them, inspire them, launch them into an incredible future. Let them feel your love, your affirmation, and your favor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can we give them an ovation and a thank you?
Wow, thank you. We are overwhelmed with, we just feel so loved, and we always have here at Grace. We thought we'd just give you a little bit. You may wonder, like, what are we actually doing? Like, why are you going? What are you up to? So we both sense a calling not just to worship but also to college students. And in this season of our life, this year I got to walk into what has been my dream job for like 4 years, just kind of waiting on it, and God has been so good. And I'm a residence director at APU. I'll work with about 355 sophomores, and I'm so excited. Already I've just been able to see the caliber of the student leaders that I get to work with, and I'm just in awe of where God has led us into this season. I'll also be wrapping up my master's this year, finally, which I'm really excited for, but it has given me a really full plate. And and James has been at APU for the past now, is it 2 years yet? Year and a half, serving as the chapel music coordinator with all of the student musicians who lead the seven different chapels each week. James oversees all of them and mentors them, develops them, and writes music and does incredible things with them, and they adore James. I'm constantly being told, like, you're James's wife. I'm like, yeah, I'm also Megan, but and then James will be starting grad school this month too. When all this started unfolding, the word of God that we heard was we need margin in our lives. And as we prayed about what that would look like, we felt that it was best for us to step out of a staff role here at Grace. We don't have plans right now that we're like leaving Grace. We still will see you guys, and but we're listening to the Lord and leaning in on creating that margin for ourselves, and so we can live our lives to honor the Lord the best. So that's what we're doing, and we'll be around. We'll probably see you next week. So just we'll be like in there, not up here. And I just want to speak on behalf of myself. I've been at Grace since May 2013, and I started right away leading worship, and I have never experienced a church family that is as embracing as Grace Church. And our motto is to a place to belong and become, right? That's what it is? Good. Still got it right. So, and that is something that I have been able to experience here at Grace, and I'm so grateful. The way that I see when people are in crisis, the way that this church family just surrounds them with without question, this models the church that I read about in Acts. And I am so grateful that I've been able to be a part of this, that we've been able to start our marriage at this church and fall in love at this church. It's been such a joy. So thank you. Thank you.
I had a chance to reflect a little bit this past week. You know, growing up at this church and being in the position now, not many people get to experience that, and I'm really grateful. Grateful for your trust, for those of you that helped raise me, for those of you that even seeing me grow up as a child now have the ability to trust with the responsibility of helping facilitate corporate worship. Like, that to me just means the world, so thank you for that trust. One of the 3 years ago, when I came back on staff, we developed a mission and purpose statement for our worship team. And one of the things that I remember the most that was on our hearts for prayer is that we want to see a consistent heartbeat for worship to happen within our corporate congregation. And I believe that we've seen the fruit of that. And that's not us. That's the Lord moving through our team and the Lord really moving through you guys. And so, as I was kind of reflecting on that, I just want to remind you guys that everything that happens up here is not the beginning. what sets the tone and the heartbeat for our culture of worship is you. And I would just say, don't, just because we know that we're never going to fully know who God is on this earth doesn't mean that it's not worth pursuing that. Amen. And so our prayer is that we continue to see that consistent heartbeat of worship happen. Even though things might change up here a little bit, that's not going to change where we are now. It's not going to change how we've grown the past couple years. And I'm so excited to see where we can continue to go in the next season. And we're excited that, we're going to be a part of that, and continue to be a part of that. That's why this is all so weird, because it's like, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here. So we're excited to continue to be here, and thank you so much for your affirmation and support with this transition. That has been such a huge game changer. So thank you for that. And we love you guys. Can I just pray for us as we sing one more song together? Lord, we just, we love you. We thank you for today. Lord, I do pray that you would just continue to grow our passion and our fervor for you. Not just in music worship, Lord, but in a holistic life of worship. That we begin to see that you are integrated and woven into every aspect of our lives. And that in every moment that you are worthy of our praise, whether that's a song or a prayer or a thought or something that's shared with someone else, or a way that we can sacrifice something for someone else, Lord. We just pray that you would increase our vision for that, and that as we close today, that we remember that all of our hope is found in Christ alone. That as we sing this song, we remember the hope that we have in you, not the hope that we have in anyone else, Lord, but the hope that we have in you and you alone. So, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time. Amen.